wears a suit and tie every day, and still he's my friend.
He's a very distinguished guy.
He does a lot of work in Russia. He works 4 or 5 months out of the year in Russia. He's one of these guys that's helping to Americanize Russians and hoping to squeeze whatever he can out of their dying economy.
Sure.
I've been talking with him for the last year, kidding with him about, you should get us over there. Well, do you know that he's told me that the company he works for has actually gotten the Russian government to invite us to come over there.
Us?
To do the show from Moscow.
Yeah, us.
You and me.
Yeah, our show, us.
To do the show over there? From Moscow. Now, apparently it's a big deal because you can't just get on a plane and say, we want to go do our radio show from Moscow. You have to be invited and you have to have all this international BS taken care of.
So even with the new regime, there are still certain guidelines that have to be followed.
Yeah, although to hear my friend Bob tell it, they're looking for good PR. At this point, they're looking for guys to come over and say, hey, Russia is a great place. I spent my last vacation in Myrtle Beach, but let me tell you something. From now on, it's going to be Moscow.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to work on that. The problem, of course, is that Infinity Broadcasting would have to come up with some serious buckage to get us over there. I mean, I think that the nutty Russians would pay. I guess I shouldn't call them the nutty Russians. The Russians would pay for the satellite time.
They should get accustomed, though, to you calling them the nutty Russians, because if we're going to go over there, they should understand our brand of humor.
And what else did he say? Something about how they've got that national radio. You know, you only get like one channel on your radio in Russia.
Right.
And they put us on just like they did when we did the show to Russia.
That was
5 or 6 years ago.
And when we did the show where we broadcast our show over into the Soviet Union, that was really one of the first things that happened where the walls were beginning to come down. And then, of course, the history-making collapse of the entire system.
Now, at the time when we originally had the chance to broadcast to Moscow was when we were working at the other bad radio station, Boo, WAVA, bad radio, Boo. They could have sent us over to Moscow because we had the blessing of the government. The problem is at that time, of course, it was Alan Goodman. Need I say any more? You look up sheep in the dictionary and there's two pictures. There's Ebenezer Scrooge, and right next to it, and slightly bigger, is Alan Goodman, who used to be our general manager. He's the guy that came up with the brainchild. Listen, why send Don and Mike to Moscow? Why pay thousands of dollars? Why can't they just come in at 11 o'clock at night and do their little show from Arlington, Virginia, and beam it? Okay, fine.
Oh, number 24, it's
this food. What does it matter if this would not be a ploy on your part just to leave me with all the gay square dance? Because you're going to have to leave the show a little bit early then. Right?
I told you today that I'm going to go right to the Y. I'm going to leave as late as possible.
Are you sure it's not just a plan to leave me surrounded by a bunch of gay cowboys?
No. And I remember last year's show, the festivities come in the middle of the program, so it should be very exciting. And then at the end, are we going to pair off again and have everybody
sure.
a partner?
Now, although this year, Steve the gay guy, our biggest gay fan, and has that article that he was doing on us for the Homo Weekly magazine. Has that come out yet?
I haven't checked. I don't subscribe to Michael's Homo Weekly, so I'm not sure whether it's in there or not.
Well, Steve the gay guy was telling me that this year he expects, since we've gotten so much good PR in the gay community in the last year, he expects that this year we'll have a whole bunch of gay cowboys coming out. If you'll pardon the pun, they're not coming out.
Gay cowboys.
Right, gay cowboys. Well, that's what it is.
I'm looking forward to it.
Gay square dancing and rodeo, and that's September 24th. And the reason we're doing this, I guess I should set this straight too, is that last year when we were looking on our calendar of all the stupid stuff happening, like for instance, the month of September is Defeat of Jesse James Month.
Okay.
It is also Nebraska State Fair Month.
Mm-hmm.
It's Baby Safety Month. It's Cable TV Month. Library Card Sign Up Month.
Right.
Chicken Cholesterol Education Month. It's Honey Month. Piano Month. Rice Month. Courtesy Month. And last but not least, as you can see, it is Gay Square Dancing Month.
There you go.
This is what caught the eye a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think of gays and lesbians, you think of them in all kinds of connotations in our society now. Airline pilots, doctors, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, military people. But you certainly don't think of gay people square dancing.
No, you really don't. And this was fascinating, and that's why we decided we have to do something special to commemorate it. And we actually had a legitimate gay square dance.
A big old hoedown. Oh, man.
What?
God.
What are you looking at? How are you looking at in People magazine?
Look at this picture of Lonnie Anderson.
Is it something horrific or what?
No. Anything but. Look at that one right there. Look at that one right there.
You know she.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the woman that Burt Reynolds did not touch in a biblical way for 3 years.
I know that I've said a lot of things about her, like that she's got a marionette-looking face, that she looks like a ventriloquist dummy. But, man, I am ready to take it all back. The picture is on page 81 of People magazine.
Lonnie in a bikini.
Lonnie is, in a perfect world, she'd be looking down the water at me going, Donnie, come up for some air. She's in a hot tub, and that is a side of Lonnie Anderson that I have never seen before.
I wonder if they're real.
Lonnie's?
Yeah, do you think they're real? I mean, because I didn't. Yeah. She had them on WKRP in Cincinnati way before breast augmentation was the rage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I bet they are.
Oh,
I'm thirsty. Boy, am I thirsty. So the second annual gay square dance and rodeo show will be on September 24th, just because Gay Square Dance Month is such a wacky phenomenon.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we had a great time last year, and I'm sure this year will be bigger and better.
We invite gays and straights alike to come down and join us for a mingling, and that'll be on Friday, September 24th.
That's right.
Now that I'm looking at the People magazine, and it's the new one that's at your grocery stores right now,
mm-hmm.
Look at the cover. And maybe you've noticed this, if you've been in line in the grocery store and you've looked at this thing. Look at Bert. Doesn't Bert look like he's slurring his words? Doesn't it almost looks like he's had a stroke that his mouth is on there.
It's the exact same look that he had when he did the television interview, and it's that little jaw.
Suckers.
All right. Gun control is hitting what you aim at.
You're a bad mother.
Oh, there.
She's a bad mother.
That's the way I feel about it.
Your mother, she cooked 9 meals. You call her a good mother. She says, get off my dress. Get off my dress. What he was saying was, he was on Prime Time Live. What was the show he was on?
I think it was the Good Morning America.
Good Morning America.
But it was at night. Right. So figure that out. You know, that's the most difficult thing to explain in the world.
Yeah, his mouth. Take a look at that. If you have People magazine, there were three things that I want you to check out. First, that picture on page 81, man, you know what? That's a keeper. I'm sorry.
Yeah, take that out. Take that home.
It's going in my wallet for the trip to Dallas.
Take it on the plane.
Then we also want you to check out the cover with Bert's face. And I just noticed one other thing I want you to check out right here on page 13, page 14. The People magazine review of Daddy Dearest. Now, People magazine doesn't give a bad review to anything. Because
have I bled enough?
Because they pretty much suck up to everybody, People magazine.
And what? Let me see if I can use my ESP here. But they're not going to suck up to Daddy Dearest, right?
No.
Have I not bled enough for you today?
I won't read you the whole review. How about, you know, this is something I learned way back in school. One of the few things I retained.
Yes.
From school, when you're reading an article, if you want to get the most out of the article, you read the first paragraph and you read the last paragraph.
Right.
And you pretty much could put it together. Then if you got time, you read all the stuff in between.
The lead and the close will tell you what the subject is.
So that's what I'm going to do. I'll read you the first paragraph and the last paragraph.
Okay, I'm ready. You know, I've come to grips with this, so it doesn't bother me at all.
Richard Lewis plays a divorced psychologist whose life is disastrously remapped when his father, Don Rickles, an obnoxious retired car salesman, moves in with him. Rickles isn't the only problem. I've gone to the last paragraph now.
Mm-hmm.
The show's humor is labored. The timing and delivery of the cast is inappropriate and amateurish, particularly Richard Lewis. Everyone talks too loud and walks around in a curious, hunched posture, gesturing madly. It's like a convention of very bad Charles Laughton imitators. Who's Charles Laughton?
He was an actor that actually his most famous role was the Hunchback in Notre Dame.
Damn, college guy. College guy. Top it all off with a strident laugh track. And you have the makings for the most grating half hour, that's grating, G-R-A-T-I-N-G,
mm-hmm.
The most grating half hour in television history. Grade D.
Yeah.
D.
I have to agree with it. I really do. I have to agree. Man, I hate to say it, you were right.
Say it again. Can't play tennis.
Me?
I can't play tennis. Drive a car, I'm not the world's best driver. Baseball, I'll tell you what, I'm a guy that can't hit a baseball, but you know what? I was right about Daddy Dearest.
right about that, Eddie Rice.
Yes, you were right.
So check that out. That's on page 14. And then you got the cover with Burt going like this. And then you got that picture, page 81. Wow.
I tell you, with the way you're doing this, I tell you, if the Red Sox happen to finish a bag of the Cubs, I'm putting my head in an oven that morning.
Oh, and they both won last night.
Yeah. They,
darn the luck.
It is a horse race. It is now becoming a horse race.
Although I was ready to give it up last night when I turned it on. I was doing a little channel surfing, and I flipped by WGN, and I saw the Cubs were up 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, beautiful. About an hour later, it's the middle of the seventh, I turn it back on. Suddenly, two men on, and I hear the Phillies are up to bat, and I hear Harry Carey saying, once they get hitting, there's no stopping them. Yeah, Mr. Optimist for the Cubs. It's all over now. They're going to choke now. But they kept it together, and they beat the Phillies 5-4. And as I told you, mm-hmm. I didn't even bother to turn on CNN to see if the Red Sox had lost because I was sure they're going to lose because they're playing a first-place team also.
I am as concerned as I have been all season long, and this is going to go much like the pennant races. We have our own little pennant race, and the Cubs-Red Sox battle will very much go down to the wire.
All right, and best of luck to you.
Yeah, good luck to you, too.
Best of luck to you. That's the spirit. We got a break. We're coming from right back.
Radio God. Don and Mike.
Thank you, Sherry. All right, we've got a call that we must take, and then we've got some guests at the front desk that we want to bring in. See if you can guess who they are, folks. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Don, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
I do not have the People magazine in front of me right now, but I would bet anything I remember the picture you're referring to.
You know what? Let me interrupt you.
Oh, you're going to steal my thunder.
Yeah, well, actually, you stole Mike's thunder.
Oh.
Because Mike was going to get me with this
when we
came back from the commercial break.
As soon as we went to commercial, sir, I asked Don to see the picture because I wanted to get a close-up look. And I just read the little caption there, and they were describing the...
Oh, hey, don't mock my skills of reading, sir. I'm only a high school graduate.
Okay.
I don't often read the captions. I just look at the pictures.
And when you see that picture, that immediately looks like Lonnie Anderson, and then you have to really stare at it and realize that it's
not.
It's Bert's cocktail lounge waitress.
You know, but with that picture, the hair looks just like Lonnie's, and I tell you what, the things,
the gonzobulators,
you know, the love things, they sure do look like Lonnie's.
Yeah, the angle too, you don't see her face that clearly, and it's that lady, is it Pam Seals, is that her name?
That's her. Here's what it says. It says Burt Reynolds admits to an affair with cocktail lounge manager Pam Seals, quotes, and you're absolutely right, sir, if I would have read this, it says in Burt's jacuzzi. So it's Pam Seals in the jacuzzi, but it looks to me like Burt just traded in Lonnie for a younger model.
I think he traded up. I'm going to blow Lonnie off in a heartbeat for that.
All right. Well, you're absolutely right, and I was only funny. I can't help it. I've only got a high school education.
Well, I'm an elementary school teacher. I look for those sort of things.
Well, thanks for listening. We do appreciate
sure
it.
Thing.
Hold on. I got a case of Snapple for you, okay?
Fantastic.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Take care.
Hold on a second.
All right.
Hold on a second.
What,
thanks,
picture. What a picture it is.
Still going in my wallet. I don't care if it's Lonnie Anderson or not.
I don't blame you for that.
And it's still on page 81. And folks, do it the way I did. Do it the dumb way. Of course, when Mike looked at the picture, Mike read the caption because he went to college. But do it the way that I did. Do it the dumb way. Just look at the picture and don't bother to read any of the words, and you'll think it's Lonnie Anderson, too.
I would say 50% of America, more than that, three-quarters of America right now thinking that's Lonnie Anderson.
Well, a lot of us didn't go to college, Mike. That is Pam Seals. So thanks for that tip, and Mike was going to try to get me with that, but caller got us first.
That's right. We got a sharp audience out there.
We got the Donnie Countdown still to come today. All about body parts, speaking of boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Zodiac and the phone challenge, all of that still coming. But first, we've got a real special treat. Yep. A couple of guys joining us here in the studio all the way now from Seattle, Washington.
This is an exciting moment.
You, of course, remember... Diane, got their card for me? You remember on the show a couple of weeks ago when Ken Stevens was in here doing the show that day that we were suspended?
Right.
You remember the day that we were suspended and the general manager, Ken Stevens, had to come in and do the show for us?
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, the day that we were not here and Ken was doing the show... He called these guys at Max Kevlar. Is that how you say it, guys? Max Kevlar?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Special Effects in Seattle, Washington. Mm-hmm. And apparently the general manager of the station called and ordered a robotic love doll. And They're here now. Let's welcome. Which one of you guys is Brian?
I'm Brian Ray, and this is the president of the company, Max Kevlar.
Max Kevlar.
Hi, Max. It's nice to meet you. I'm Don.
Nice to meet you.
And this is Mike.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
You don't look like what I would expect.
What did you expect?
I expected
some guy going like, guy maybe like that, you know, selling love dolls and all.
You know, you look like, I guess you are a scientist, right, gentlemen?
Well, actually, Max started out doing special effects for...
Oh, Jesus, look at them.
Are they in
the crates? Here come the crates.
They're bringing the crates. Now, you have one of what do you call them, robots?
Animatronic love dolls.
Animatronic love dolls.
Now, is it Thor? Is that the one you guys have brought by?
We actually have brought several things for you today. We have Thor, which is the male, and then also we have Samantha, which is a female. And we have a couple other new products, too, we'd like to show.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, great. Well, can we start the show then? Can you bring out the products?
Please, waste no time, gentlemen. We're ready for this.
And we had a question. Max, perhaps you can answer the question.
All right.
Our general manager. Is Earl here? Earl is the other guy, one of our sales guys, who wanted to also go in on this with the general manager.
He'll be here shortly.
As it turns out, Ken, the general manager, is at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Dallas. We're going to be doing our show from there tomorrow. Is there any way, if our company was to pay the freight charges, that this could be overnighted to Ken down in Dallas? That way, not only would you get the publicity from being on our show in 10 different cities, but you're talking about 7,000 radio guys in a convention at the same time who would be looking at it as they walk by. Could you think about that?
Oh, yeah. I think that would be an excellent idea. As a matter of fact, we'll pay for the shipping. We'll for all that.
Oh, that's great, because we really would like to present it to Ken when we're down there, actually, on our show.
And I think it's an excellent idea.
In case you don't know, we're on in a bunch of cities. We're in Washington, Baltimore, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, Miami, Charlottesville, Virginia. Would you like to give you a brief plug, a little commercial for your company here? We'd love you to do that.
Well, you mentioned Charlottesville. I'm originally from Natural Bridge, Virginia, and I started down there doing some work with animatronic dolls. What we're doing is taking we're merging two concepts. The concept of like the kind of thing you see at Chuck E. Cheese. Little animals and that kind of thing.
Okay,
and
Max.
The old inflatable dolls.
Yes.
And we've merged those two concepts together. And we've taken a unique
Max
line.
Max, I've got an 8-year-old and we go to Chuck E. Cheese all the time. Just tell me that you didn't get the idea for this while you were at Chuck E. Cheese looking at the robotic rodent.
Well, actually, down in Virginia, we didn't have Chuck E. Cheese. I saw it at the
Showtime?
At the Flintstones at the Bush Gardens.
And that's what gave you the idea for this?
Yes, it did. Especially Betty and Roman and
all right.
Fred.
Now, here's what the warnings say. We're just going to hand out the warning sheet. Important.
Sorry, guys.
Read the following warnings before assembling or using your animatronic love mate for the first time. Do not use this device if you suffer from genital sores or lesions or have irritated or inflamed mucous membranes. Well, that lets me out.
Right.
Do not use this device if you suffer from high blood pressure, low blood pressure, or if you have an irregular heartbeat.
Okay.
People with pacemakers should stay a distance of not less than 50 feet from the device. Persons with sugar, diabetes, poor circulation, you know what I mean, college guy.
Paralysis.
Thanks. Or any condition that reduces the sensation of the lower extremity should refrain from using this device. Use of this device for any activity for which it was not specifically designed may result in serious and permanent damage to you as well as this device. Do not operate this device near water, including bathtubs, saunas, showers, hot tubs, swimming pools. If any time you become aware of intense physical pain or if you suspect the device is experiencing mechanical malfunction,
yes,
immediately initiate the emergency shutdown procedure. Now, you know what this sounds to me like, man? I am a big... Oh, here's Earl Merton, the sales executive that was interested in the prior.
Hi, Earl.
Say hi to
Brian and Max.
I'm Max Kevlar, president.
How are you? There you go. I'm glad you guys got a chance to meet.
I'm a big fan of the show Star Trek, The Next Generation, and this seems to me like a version of... Have you seen Data? Are you familiar with Data?
I like the show as well.
They've got a special switch on Data that only Geordi and a few other people know where it is, and it sounds to me like the same kind of thing that you'd press the magic button and... just goes limp. Oh, there's more?
As you talk about, there's a movie that it's going to be released in France this Christmas that we worked on.
There's a movie that's going to be released in France.
Jerry Loza?
Now, gentlemen, Brian, now what were you saying about that movie on the microphone?
That movie is going to be released in France this Christmas. There are two movies that we worked on. One is very similar to Star Trek.
That wouldn't be Lethal Bitch.
No, that would be the movie The Arrow Star.
A distant space station near a black hole is the setting for sexual interludes between beings from different universes. And you guys are making this movie that's out in France?
We did the special effects for that movie, yes.
I gotta ask one question. Is this some kind of a big practical joke? Are you guys at some point going to, like pull out rubber chickens? And
we can show you now.
I'll tell you, Brian, you got the deadpan working for me here because you haven't cracked a smile. I believe you're serious.
Listen to the other movie these guys are putting out, Lethal Bitch. Gross, sick, deeply disturbing. Mother gives birth to a 12-year-old female vampire. Mother and vampire daughter have incestuous lesbian relationship. Vampire performs various acts of sexual mutilation on male, female, and animal partners.
And I guess that would be your robots that are featured in that?
Yes.
30-year-old vampire daughter slithers back into the womb, and mother explodes into bloody pieces.
Oh, my God.
Is this a Disney film?
You know, it's not PG.
You guys really make these movies with your robots.
Well, we participate in them, yes.
I'm not sure that I want to talk about the superflex anus effect. I don't think that is something that I should go into great detail.
That was one thing that's used in the movie, though.
That's great.
When we worked on a couple other both video and also major motion pictures. Apparently in France there's a big thing of science fiction and erotica all being put together that hasn't really caught on in this country.
Why did you guys bring these Kareem Abdul-Jabbar goggles?
That's just in case anything goes astray.
I see a first aid kit here.
It's always good to be safe.
There's a first aid kit, and there's a bunch of tools back there.
That's to just assemble the appendages onto the torso.
Keep in mind that what you're seeing here today are prototypes, right. Miniature-type prototypes that we could carry with us on the plane, and then Brian has brought other things in the crates, but what he'll demonstrate are prototypes that we've been working on, and that's why, of course, we have to have the tools. They're not the finished product.
Now, Max, was this your idea, or did you guys come up with this idea together to make these robotic love dolls?
Well, I came up with the idea, been sort of obsessed with it all my life.
No kidding.
Congratulations on that, Max.
Brian is actually the brains behind it. He's put everything together. He has a technical background, and we have a partnership where I'll try to do most of the marketing and that kind of thing, where he'll do the actual building and product research. He's in charge of that.
You guys remind me of Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones. You, Max, would be the Jerry Jones, the slick owner, and you would be the Jimmy Johnson, the guy who actually makes the whole thing work. Of course, it didn't work Monday night at RFK Stadium, but that's another story.
But Brian strikes you as kind of a hands-on guy.
It's a part of the fun.
Well, I actually started out my career doing medical prosthesis, and arms and legs, and actually genitals were actually made too for transsexual operations, and also people who've had avulsions and other accidents.
Now Earl Merton, who was originally interested in this with the general manager, on the day that Ken was in here and found out about this, and I think maybe called as a joke, and as it turns out we want to try to make it as serious as possible, Ken and Earl were talking about going in on one of these. Now how much does one of these babies run you? Let's say not your top-of-the-line model, but in between the top-of-the-line and the cheapest one you could go, what could you get a good love doll for? What would that run you?
Approximately $3,000.
$3,000.
I think, really, that's a bargain. I think that's quite a value.
Now, that's for a standard Samantha version, which has the removable genital piece. We actually went through, after talking to Earl and Ken, we did some more research, and we had some interest on more homosexual-type apparatus, and we hadn't really addressed that market. So we do have a prototype that has a removable mouth and nose piece.
Okay. All right, good. Okay, we got to break for some commercials.
All right, we're going to take a break.
When we do these spots, can you put one of these things? How long does it take you to whip one of these guys and gals up?
Actually, I have a couple here that I can... This is something that
I want to see you open up the case.
The prototypes are ready to go, I believe.
Well, then let's break for commercials. We'll come back and do it all on the air.
Fine.
We are joined by Max and
Brian.
And Brian from Max Kevlar Incorporated Special Effects in Seattle, Washington, with the robotic love dolls. Earl Merton, who is with us. Earl, your feelings now is you're about to have a lifelong dream come true to have a robotic love doll.
It's truly exciting, Don.
Okay. Okay, we got to break. We can send this thing down to the NAB, right?
Absolutely.
Ken Stevens?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be a great show.
All right.
Okay, we got a break, and we'll be right back.
Radio God, Don and Mike. Washington, Baltimore, Superstation. WJFK.
Thank you, Sherry.
The Don and Mike Show continues.
Go. All right, it's Robotic Love on WJFK FM, Washington, D.C., WJFK AM, Baltimore, 1520 KB Radio, Buffalo, 1010 Talks, WQIK Tampa, WLAS Jacksonville, WIOD Miami, WCHV Charlottesville. Well, the show has taken a definite left turn today.
It certainly has.
And we are joined by Max and Brian from Max Kevlar Special Effects in Seattle, Washington, bringing Ken Stevens his robotic love dolls.
Yes, Thor, and I also believe you brought Samantha, the female love doll, along.
What we have here, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that we have not done anything during the commercials. We made some small talk. We've had some soft drinks, but these guys have not opened up the crates. We have not seen what is inside. We want to share it right here with you folks.
I do see some sort of a remote control, Brian, in the back there. Is that how you control these?
No, that's not. That's just for the programming.
It's for the programming.
There's certain parameters, people's certain tastes and fetishes that you can program into each of the dolls.
If you had a foot fetish, could you program that in?
We have icons. It's very similar if people are familiar with the Microsoft Windows.
Mm-hmm. Right, over your computer. I have Windows, right.
Okay, you know how you have the icons for different programs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have the different icons for the various fetishes and perversions, if you will. that would have to be a specially ordered item, though. Although there are feet with toes on them, and you can paint the toenails. I mean, if that was as far as you can go.
You guys are nuts.
But they're not. They don't have any motion right now.
So it would be like sucking a toe that had no life to it.
Although it would be warm. The love doll is warmed internally to heighten the realistic
effect. Just out of curiosity, my God, I'm getting curious. How is the love doll warmed, Brian?
It actually has a series of tubes that go right into the layer of the latex.
Uh-huh.
And those can be used to warm the doll and also to give a surging, pulsating type of sensation in particular areas.
Fascinating.
Since Brian mentioned something, I'd like to say that Mr. Geronimo read a list of cautions. There's one that just came up recently. It's not on that. I just found out recently that there's about 2% of the population have allergies to latex.
Yep.
And there have actually been deaths from anaphylactic shock from latex. So if you're going to invest the $3,000 in animatronic love mate, we suggest you go to your family doctor, ENT, or allergist for your latex test. You see,
sure.
You can also be allergic to it by eating bananas and chestnuts.
Uh-huh. So yeah, if you're allergic to that type of thing, you might not want to be crawling all over this love doll.
Or you could just give yourself a spot test with just some rubber gloves.
Right.
Now, in the two cases on top here, something actually, I sort of sprung in my mind.
You guys, hold on. Let me stop you guys for a second. You've got your spiel down. You've got your sales presentation down.
Mm-hmm.
And it is odd. On one hand, it's great that you guys are as open as you are and we're able to sit here and listen to this, but we are just waiting for the other shoe to drop. You guys really have real love dolls. You really sell them for $3,000. They really do all this stuff. You're not just setting us up. You're not going to give us a pie in the face or something?
No pies. About to show you what we have.
Okay.
The two transit cases on top are advanced concepts that I've worked on with their research and development. This is something that Max hasn't actually seen. These would be something, the three crates have the doll that you'd have to leave at home. You really couldn't take her with you on a business trip unless you just wanted to take the torso.
Guys, just one question. Why is there a fire extinguisher here? Just please.
Guessing in case some of the
OSHA regulations.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with electronics, you have to have
it. Oh, internal mechanics, if perhaps your loved one was doing a blow a fuse.
Didn't know you knew that, okay.
And that's why we
have. I'm also oddly interested in it, just like you are.
That's why we have the gloves and the goggles and the face masks. Just you don't want to get any influence from the air or anything like
right.
that.
Right.
Hey, Buzz, you might want to come in here for this.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Actually, join us here in the main studio.
Wow.
Well, let's get to it, guys.
Hey, the two cases on top are something I've worked on independently. these are something for a man who travels, much like your Ken Stevens, who goes out, he's in another market or another area, and, you know, he wants to have sex. You know, what does he do? This would be something that's portable and he could carry with him.
Yeah.
Now, these are advanced concepts, but this would be the first time I'm accessing this, too. So if
All right, well, then we're all getting it together. And again, the concept is if you're a traveling man like Ken, who's at the NAB right now in Dallas, you pull one of these cases, which is, I'm guessing you could get away with that with carry-on luggage. You wouldn't have to check that, right?
Exactly.
That's
correct.
The size you could put that in the overhead luggage. And well, now the I've got to say that the dolls are. They're not life size.
No, these are the carry-on, as you said.
Oh, so these are the smaller versions.
Correct.
They look like ventriloquist dummies, folks. That's about the size of them.
I'm gonna be sick.
Oh no, I don't want
to. Oh dear.
Oh God.
All right.
Buzz, help describe this.
We're looking at two little dolls here.
Have you ever seen that movie that has the ventriloquist dummy that goes crazy? Yep. That's almost what these.
We're bringing one of them over. This one's talking to Earl. No, thanks. I'll let you in. All right, now what is this?
This is
Thor.
Thor.
Come on.
Make me squeal. Yes, Earl.
Folks, this is not a joke. These are real. Get that thing.
You're making me squeal.
You scared me with that thing. Now what does she say?
Yes.
And now is this one mentioning Ken?
Yeah. She's going, oh, Kenny.
Yes.
Hey, you know what's weird? The little eyes move and everything.
We plan on having everything move when we get it beyond in more detail. Now, these Stevens.
Not what I expected.
Me either.
These are made small so that they're portable. They're not made small so that they resemble very young people.
Just let me make an announcement to all the people that work here. Everybody wants to come on in. Come on in and take a look at these babies.
Everybody is fascinated by these love dolls.
Turn this off, please.
These are the size of regular dolls. Come on in, everybody.
Fascinating.
This is Samantha, and that is Thor. Look at Daryl's the only one who doesn't seem surprised by this. Daryl's coming and going, oh yeah, animatronic love dolls. Oh yeah, Doc.
You mean they look like this, Daryl?
I have no idea.
And as you can see, Thor has not only handcuffs on, he also has Sherry, they made me jump back like that also. Sherry and I had the exact same reaction to this thing.
Well, we feel at Max Kevall that we're uniquely positioned to take advantage of the moral decay in the country. And we're going to make a talk on it.
Hold on, I have just spotted. Did Thor always have his thing out?
Thor's had his thing out since they took Thor out of the game.
I didn't notice that Thor had. Wow. You know, Thor's thing is kind of. It's bigger than he is.
Yeah, it's not proportioned to Thor. Is that.
We added toys. This is the 5-inch version. We added a 10 and a 12 inch. I did this pretty much in my own.
We're not talking about Thor's height here, are we? I don't think we are.
Let me see if I can describe that. You know, when they were talking about Teddy Ruxpin, that is the closest thing I can say, folks. They're about as big, actually maybe a little bigger than a Teddy Ruxpin doll. They've got doll faces.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets me, guys. I'll tell you, you lose me with the dolly, the dolly faces right there.
That's exactly the problem I had, and that's one thing that we were interested in having Mr. Stevens and Mr. Burt Merton be a beta test site.
Yeah.
Was because I wasn't sure what to go for. I wanted them to be transportable. Obviously, this is something that if they found like in Michael Jackson's ranch would cause a lot of trouble.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, Rob A., come here. I would like. Oh, now, Sherry can't resist. Sherry's touching. That's okay, Sherry.
Were you touching Thor, Sherry?
Rob A., your feelings upon seeing these love dolls.
I think they look like Buffy and Jody from A Family Affair.
Yeah. You know, they do. Buffy, Jody.
Time for your bath, your third of the day.
Sherry, you actually touched Thor. Does it feel like. Like doll skin? Does it feel like baby doll skin? I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was hard plastic or soft plastic, and it is. It's just like a regular doll.
Now, guys,
it's kind of hard.
Guys, let's be serious for a second. I almost bought into the full-size, you know, regular woman that maybe there might be somebody out there that would buy that and want to make love to that. Do you think that there's a market for somebody who would buy what is virtually a kid's doll with regular-sized genitals? Do you think that guys are going to spend money on this? And more importantly, do you think there is somebody out there that would make love to these? Have you tried to make love to them, Brian? Have they been tested?
We've marketed Thor to one of our people, not this particular model, but we had a slightly different version that had got... He was controlled remotely, though. He didn't have the computer works that it would take to actually have him be self-motivated.
Thor looks like he belongs in Toys R Us, though. Babes in Toyland.
Well, these don't have all the features yet. We plan on having to be able to go to your needs, to actually hear your voice and be able to respond to your vocal intonations, your blood pressure, much like the larger dolls. And this is for the common man. This would be a feature that anyone could afford. And if you go out to your...
How much would these run you?
We haven't quite figured out what the price for these would be yet. If you go somewhere where you just get, though, just a motorized penis or just a motorized vagina, you're looking typically at an investment of $60 to $80. These, for just slightly more, these would probably be less than $500. We found that the market, like when VCRs came out, they had to be under $1,000.
Right.
When video cameras really became popular, under $1,000. Computers under $1,000. We figure if we can position these where they can come home to you for under $1,000. These are also easier to ship.
$1,000 for these two right
now,
here.
Now, can you turn them on again so we can hear them speak? Can I hear the one speak to Earl first, please? Thor.
Also, you think about the price. Think about what a course of penicillin for penicillin-resistant syphilis or something would cost. This will prevent that.
Thanks for that tip in, Max.
If you'll pardon the pun.
The safe sex is really what we're going for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Martin.
Can you bring him right up to the mic?
Brian, that sounds surprisingly like your voice.
This is a prototype of something I worked at home.
Giddy up, Earl.
Giddy up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Earl, you animal. Earl. Yes. More, Earl, faster.
Hey, Jeremy, do you think we're going to be a big hit at the NAB with these? Do you think we're going to get some new stations, huh?
Yes. Oh, you are my stallion. Giddy up.
Okay, now can we hear Samantha talk about Kenny Stevens?
I just pretty much use my imagination for that. I figured that maybe that would be more feedback to what would be more appropriate.
Quite an active imagination you have there, Brian.
And keep in mind, the sounds that you make during those intimate times are pretty silly if somebody was listening.
Mm-hmm.
So we can all smile at this.
It's too bad you're never able to work with Jim Henson, Brian.
Wouldn't Kermit have had fun?
Oh, yes. 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 Ken. Yes. Oh, Mr. Stevens. Yes. 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 God. What a man. Yes. Yes. Again, yes, oh God!
Okay, all right. Okay.
I want to point one thing out about Samantha that I just happened to notice there,
yeah.
Guys. We're talking about legitimate there, but the nipples on Samantha—they're
real nipples. They are like the kind of nipples that you would put on the top of a bottle,
a baby bottle.
That's what I mean. They are. Nipples.
They're from a baby bottle, right?
Well, we have found that there is a market that is also interested in lactating females.
All right. Okay. All righty.
Okay. Wow. Now these babies are prototypes. You've got now in the cases are the is that where the big life size ones are? Right. Okay. Brian, what would you like to say in closing? Oh, Brian's in the back. I'm sorry, Max.
Max, anything? Any parting words for your spiel here?
Brian, I think you had an ending speech, didn't you?
Brian's got some notes. Come on over, Brian. Help yourself. Oh, and here's some cribs. Oh, you want me to read it? Okay. Application to become a national Don and Mike show irregular. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. This is a scam.
Yeah, I knew it.
This is a scam.
Okay.
We have been scammed.
Okay, let me
You know see. Who scammed us?
Who scammed us?
The guy that sent the letter about the chart. You remember this? The guy who sent the chart on how to find out what kind of listeners we have.
Oh, he is a truly anal listener.
Now, is that you? That's him?
All right.
Man, this guy went to an incredible length.
Wow. We salute you, gentlemen.
We
salute you.
Man, we have been had.
Well, that is great.
Yeah. Now, listen to the letter that this guy sent. Application to become a national Don and Mike show irregular. Experience? I groped my mother-in-law thinking she was my wife. You called her and told her that I knew it was her and I did it on purpose. I sent you a bogus fax about the granny sex line. I sent faxes to not read on air. I sent a fax charting the listeners on a bell graph. And I sent elaborate faxes about Max Kevlar sex products. Now, understand what this guy did. Not only did he make these dolls, he also made a logo. He made business cards. You made up everything about the movies, right?
These guys had name tags when they came in. This was well done. I'll tell you that right now.
Now, where did you come up with the idea to do this? Was this you? Now, your name, you're really Kevin, right?
Yes, sir.
Kevin Kirby.
Yes, sir. Okay, you can smile there. Now he's smiling at us.
Oh, that's good. Wow. Yeah, I think you've made it, Kevin. You're one of the irregulars.
Don and I were walking down the hallway, and we were saying to each other, these guys are either totally clueless as to what's going on, or this is a very well-done scam.
You know, you put a lot of work. We want to bring those dolls with us to Dallas, incidentally, if we could. First off, why did you do this? Second off, how much time and money did it take you to put all this stuff together? And how did you pull it off? Tell us everything.
Well, actually, as you recall, you called a 1-800 number to call me. I have a friend at the phone company that when they assign a 1-800 number, someone had specifically asked for that number. It hadn't gone into service yet, so he actually redirected it to my home so I'd be able to answer the 1-800 number when you called. It started off kind of small, though. I gave just the ad, and then you guys went on to other things, and a week went by. So then I gave you some more stuff, hoping you would call me. I gave you the information about the Tyrannosaurus Rex penis and the other item. And still you didn't call. And then you went to Florida. So then I said, gee, what am I going to do? So then I had the animatronic sex doll.
Now these dolls that you put together, I got to tell you, I don't know if there might be a market for some sick individuals out there who would get these. How did you put the dolls together? How much time and money did it take? And how did you make the dolls say the little stuff about Ken and Earl?
Well, as you noted, my voice is on the Earl tape, and totally from imagination, I thought it was someone would say in a similar situation to that. And then, although she didn't want me to say it, my wife actually did the voice for the female.
That's great.
One thing, we were talking about this outside, and she was reminiscent about it. She said, well, you know, I'm not usually that vocal. And I said, yeah, I know, I had to, because she was doing whispery. And I said, I had to sort of shake you to get you to say it so deep. And we didn't realize that our neighbors were all around. And I'm sure they didn't know exactly what was going on. They probably heard us, too, doing all the tapes.
Now, let's meet the other impersonator, because you obviously are not Max Kevlar, but you are you're a damn good actor, whoever you are. Come on up, and what's your name, and what do you really do?
Well,
do you want to say?
Actually, not, because I'm supposed to be doing it now.
Oh, you're supposed to be at work right now?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So let me just say that I'm his brother.
Okay.
Only his brother would do something like that.
This is the most elaborate scam.
Guys, we applaud you, really.
Yeah,
good
job.
Actually, I was going to send a letter out to an aunt in Seattle and have it sent back to you, but the time wouldn't work out.
I mean, folks, if you could see the studio, if you could see, besides the cases that the dolls came in, they've got boxes that are taped up that say delicate instruments on them. Buzz, you were suckered into this also.
I walked into the studio, and I saw a fire extinguisher and some condoms, and although I've seen that before, I'd never actually seen it in a radio studio, and it seemed legitimate to me because they had all the safety devices.
They got us all hook, line, and sinker. We were saying things like, do they know that this is, we're going to play a gag on Ken Stevens? Do they know this? Are they going to be upset? What's the deal?
See, the important thing to remember, folks, is not only did these guys have the stationery and the phone number and the business card and the press releases, they came in wearing the suits and ties. They look like perverted scientists.
Right?
They've got the dolls. I mean, we were hooked.
Oh, man.
We were hooked. And the only reason you did this is because you want to be a regular on the show?
Oh, well, actually, it's kind of a sickness. When you called about the chart that I did.
Right. Oh, and you remember that's the bell chart that
right.
That Kevin did that describes the four groups of people that listen to the show. There are those who hate us yet are obsessed with the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's those that like us, those that love us, and then those on the deep end that really, really love us.
Tremendous. I mean, you put a lot of work into that, too. I've never seen that as much effort by just a listener doing this. This is incredible.
But I realized it wasn't a good thing, though, because when you were first saying you were going to call me, I was going down the road. So I went speeding home, disobeying all the speed limits. When I got home, my wife had parked her car
kitty cornered across the place, so I couldn't park. So I jumped out of the car while I was running.
This is when we were reading your bell curve
letter, right? And you were calling
me.
The phone was ringing. I went charging up to the house, and there were neighborhood kids all over the front porch. I stepped on a Barbie car and, like, twisted my back. I blew the door open. I finally got to the phone, so I'm all out of breath. I'm disoriented. All the kids are coming and talking. And when you talk to me, I think I did okay. You asked me if I had masturbated that day, and I had an answer and that sort of thing. But then at the end, you promised me some Snapple, but then I sort of was disoriented. I couldn't hear you. So you do like you do for your dopey listeners. And he said, go ahead, put the phone back on the cradle. And then I snapped. And my wife came in and she said, well, you're pretty good.
Okay. So we're getting into that vendetta area now, right?
Okay. Well, not with you, though.
Okay, all right.
My wife came in and I said, I don't play.
WJFK AM Baltimore.
Right.
KV Radio Buffalo, 1010 Tonics, WQIK Tampa, WLAS Jacksonville, WIOD Miami, and WCHV Charlottesville. You know, we were just sitting here during the spots, Mike and Sherry and myself, and we were discussing this. We bought into that. Well, first off, it was beautifully done.
Absolutely brilliant.
A lot of time, a lot of money went into this.
Right.
It was beautifully done. I'd like to say that at some point I knew for sure it was a scam, but they pulled it off to such an extent that even during the commercials, we're making small talk with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we're buying into it.
And they really, I mean, the one guy who was straight was Brian. He was basically not smiling at all. And then the guy that played the role of the CEO of the company was kind of smirking like he was just playing along. And it was convincing.
Yeah, but on the other hand, it's a little bit worrisome that there's somebody out there that's such a devoted fan of the show that he would go to that great length. I mean, we're going to keep these dolls around if we can, and,
right.
And the next time we do an appearance at Studebaker's or somewhere like that, we're going to bring them out so you can see them.
The thing about it was these little dolls that didn't look anything even like a normal inflatable doll,
right.
We were trying to be polite to these guys.
They were gross.
They were foul.
I was shocked because they had adult voices, as the listeners heard on the air.
And adult parts.
The dolls had adult voices and adult parts. But they were childlike dolls. I don't mean they were just children's dolls.
That's right. They had children's faces.
The dolls looked like children, and it was very disturbing. When I walked into the control room, my heart skipped a beat. I mean, I was genuinely shocked that these guys would be selling, you know, sexual dolls that looked like children.
You know, both Sherry and I had the same reaction, which was you look at it and physically jump back.
And that's when I refused to look when they first came in. I turned my back to it.
And even at that point, we weren't thinking along the lines of, okay, that's enough. We were all still buying it and kind of going, well, okay, if it's I forgot who said it. Somebody said something. If they come in a traveling case, I guess that's why they have to be small. And we were taken in by it completely, and it was funny.
What a scam, though.
Wow, great scam.
Good job. What a psycho job that guy is. I mean, he's a big fan of the show, and if he wants to be a regular caller, he's more than welcome to.
Sure.
I just think about him sitting around the kitchen table with mom and sis and brother, all of them putting these nasty little dolls together for Don and Mike. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's a little oogie.
That's kind of weird.
There are a few things in this whole scam that are a little oogie, and I'm trying real hard just to ignore them right now.
But it was a great scam. There's no doubt about it. And if you think about this, not only did he scam us and everybody listening, obviously,
right,
but all the people, this is how realistic these dolls look. Even though they were gross and they looked like little kids,
mm-hmm.
It was such a believable concept
that
we had 25 people that work here in the station, all of them with their mouths wide open just going, this is like nothing I've ever seen.
Everybody's interest was piqued. Everybody's appetite was wet. Everybody wanted to see these dolls. And then they came out of the case, and they did look like Buffy and Jody.
And just wait until we bring those babies, if you'll pardon the pun, to the NAB with us tomorrow, because those are definitely being packed with our equipment for the remote broadcast tomorrow.
Yeah, won't Kenny be pleased?
you want to talk about humiliating Ken in front of 7,000 other broadcasters and the guy that owns this station.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the ticket tomorrow.
Absolutely. So there is a silver lining in all of this, even though there was nothing bad about it, because, I mean, what these guys did was they put a lot of effort into a little joke, and I thought it worked out beautifully.
Yeah, but man, if I just want to reiterate again, if you would have seen the amount of paperwork that they put into this.
Yeah, the paperwork was very convincing with the disclaimers and the waivers that had to be signed.
All the movies that they'd written, that they'd done special effects. And we even bought the stupid movie about the robots in France.
When I looked over and I said, hey, guys, why is there a fire extinguisher? That was the first time that I really thought, what is there a need for a fire extinguisher? And they were able to get by that.
Well, congratulations to Kevin.
Yeah.
To Kevin. He got us.
Kevin Kirby.
Boy, he got us good. And the Dolls are going to Dallas with us. So now, back to the show.
Yes.
Seems that the Love Dolls took up a lot of time.
They sure did.
We've got less than an hour left now before we've got to blow out of here an hour early today to catch our plane with our Love Dolls down to Dallas.
Are we taking them with us?
No, Diana is bringing them with her.
Thank God for that.
Diana's going to bring them with all the luggage.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that she carries them on so that as they go through the X-ray machine, perhaps at Dulles, the guards will have to flip them open just to see what she's carrying.
Yeah.
If there's a God, that'll come true.
Excuse me, ma'am. Could you hold up for a minute? Thank you.
Oh, my God. Security.
Get her out of here.
Oh, great scam. You got us. And now let's get into the last hour here.
All right.
We got commercials to do again. But before we do commercials, we're way backed up because of those dolls. That's how believable it was that we had one segment there that had to be 30 minutes long.
We were a couple of dogs listening to high-pitched whistles in here. We were...
Yeah.
Our heads were cocked to that jaunty angle.
He got us. And we've had a lot of calls already with people asking us to make note of that for the next best of.
Oh, you bet. Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking about rerunning it tonight at 6 when we leave. That's how good it is. Let's get to one little call here that we got to break for some spots. We'll get to Buzz and the news and then right back on track with the show. This was passed over our desk a couple of weeks ago, and we just blew by it, a little item from the Associated Press. The headline says, "No singing allowed." And the story is a brief one. In China, it is against the law to sing on the telephone. That's not like one of those wacky laws that you hear about that are never enforced. That is a real law. In China, it is against the law to sing on the telephone.
God only knows what they do if you sing on the phone with that human rights bastion we know as China.
Well, we're going to find out. We've got the number of the Beijing Hilton.
All right.
What song do you think we should sing?
Matchmaker.
Oh, that's one of our favorites, yeah.
That's a nice show.
I was thinking we could do Turning Japanese, but that's not... Yeah, I'm always getting that China and Japan thing mixed up now. They look the same, but they're totally different countries. Right, college guy?
That's right. Absolutely, Don.
Your Japanese are nothing like your Chinese.
The vapors.
Hooroo! All right, calling the Beijing Hilton. What time is it over there? Does anybody know?
It's the last Thursday.
No singing. In China, it is against the law to sing on the telephone. And then it says, believe it or not, no singing allowed.
They'd have to have quite a law enforcement department to get us over here, wouldn't they?
Well, I hope they pick up. Isn't a hotel usually open 24 hours a day?
Maybe it's karaoke night. Where they get it all out of their system because they can't sing on the telephone.
Now, karaoke, is that a Japanese thing or a Chinese thing?
It's a Japanese thing.
And that would, so that would be in Japan, not in China.
That's right.
And they got the baseball teams in Japan. They got Sony in Japan.
Right.
In China, they got Tiananmen Square where all the riots were.
Yeah, the human rights violations.
Japan, good. China, not good.
Right.
Oh, hello. Hold on a second.
All right. Now that you've set this up, I am dying to do this. I'm coming out of my skin getting ready to sing for these Chinese.
And folks, I'm just funning you. I know the difference between Japan and China, okay? I know the difference.
Of course you do.
Sure I do. What's the difference again, Mike?
The difference is Tiananmen Square, Sony.
Okay, thanks. Ah, Sony.
Karaoke, Mao Zedong.
Okay, one more try here. Come on, Beijing Hilton. It's got to be the right number because it's got that weird faraway ring sound.
You got sake on one side. You got crispy fried fish on the other side.
Gotcha. That's the difference. Mr. Baseball, that's Japan, right?
That's Japan. That's right.
So, and if we were going to take it to the ultimate, it would be Japan. Funny.
Right.
China.
Not funny.
I'm with you.
Oh, man.
All right. Do we have any other numbers in China?
We must be able to get through to China.
Diana, isn't there any other number in China we've got besides the Beijing Hilton? All right, we're going to have to go to break, folks.
Oh.
Hello?
Mundo Mao.
Plantown.
Wonderful.
Matchmaker.
Yeah, you want to do it as bad as I do.
I love the show tunes, baby. I love them just as much as you do. And there's that fast, busy signal. Maybe I'm misdialing. I don't know. I'll tell you this. It'll be just as funny when we come back from the commercials, though.
Absolutely.
And we'll be right back.
Don and Mike Show. WJFK FM Manassas, Washington. 1300 AM WJFK Boulder.
Don and Mike WJFK.
You got it. More with Don and Mike.
And thanks for listening on the Ham and Eggs Radio Network. Okay, let's stop talking about the dumb love songs. Now let's stop worrying about the guy being in the parking lot after the show.
We're all still just reeling a little bit.
Let's try to call Beijing one more time before we go to Buzzy.
Nothing to get us out of that uggy feeling, that little show tone down.
You got it.
Wow.
Yeah, those dolls are weird. You know, I get all worked up again talking about it with Sherry, because Sherry's got that way of pointing out the absolute worst part of so. You know, you could give Sherry a whole bunch of topics, and she'll pick the oogiest one.
Yes, she will.
Yes, you got the magic touch. That's why we love her so much. Hello? We're still trying to call China. Yeah, Sherry was pointing out how soft the skin was on the arms of the doll, the little doll skin, but then the skin of the private parts apparently was a little harder, a little more layered.
Like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Right. You know, part of that was actually that body of the love doll, which it was not a love doll. It was actually like that little canvas dolly thing that you see, you know, with the arms just hanging there.
You know, the best way to describe these dolls, I know that anybody that has a kid bought one. I think they're made by Fisher-Price. I know that Bart had one when he grew up. A doll that where you learn how to tie the shoes and you learn how to button the buttons. That was about the size of the doll, and that is what the doll looked like.
And we're all sitting here going, oh, yeah, well, it's small because it's got to travel. Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yes, hello?
Yes.
Yes, is this China?
This is China? Okay.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a five, catch me a catch. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, medicine go down.
Well, she's getting her friends.
Boy, down. Breaking the law. It's your turn to come up.
Oklahoma, where the wind blows, where the rubber blows, where the rubber blows, la 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 la.
Hello? Hello?
These little town blues are melting away.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Point down. Hello? Yes, hello. Is this China? Hello?
This is China?
Hail to the Redskins. Hail victory. Braves on the warpath. Fight for old D.C.
Hello? We heard it's against the law to sing on the telephone in China. That's why we're calling you.
We had to.
Okay? Hello?
On the Mao.
On Mao.
Ting tong, doing go.
Oh, yes, I'm turning Japanese. Oh, yes, I'm turning Japanese. I really think so. Think so. Think so. Think so. Hello? Well, let's try one more then, because we're not getting any response out of them.
Oh, man, I was just ready to launch into God Bless America.
Okay, great one. Yeah. That'll be what we lay on him here.
That'll wake him up.
Good. Where's the guy? Any people with funny names over in China, like Dick Hertz? we could take that bit around the world, huh?
Hello, can we speak to Harry Pitts, please? Please.
Okay, it's God Bless America, right. And then we're going to go right to the news cubicle with Buzz.
That's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what number I've been handed. Where am I calling? Palace.
The palace?
Yes.
Yes. Hello, is this China?
Yeah.
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike show from America. We're on the radio now. We heard a story that says in China it's against the law to sing on the telephone. So we just wanted to call you and we wanted to say,
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the...
Oh, we're being put through to somebody else.
They're big on transferring.
Hello?
The oceans white with foam.
God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Hello?
Oh.
Yes, hello. We heard it was illegal to sing on the telephone in China, so we just wanted to call in and sing some of our favorite songs in China. Okay? That's a pretty dumb law. You can't arrest me. Can't arrest me. I'm a free man in a free country, baby. Free Willie, that's what I say.
You know, why don't we get the impression that people on the other end of the line right now are looking at us, or looking at the phone, much like we looked at those love dolls.
Hello? Hello? Now, are they still there, or did they hang up on us?
I hear it sounds like somebody's there.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, they're not saying anything.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's why we live in America.
That's right.
Bye now.
Mm-hmm.
Bye now.
Now, if some guys call up next week and say that they're a Chinese law enforcement squad that are coming in to arrest us, we'll know that's a practical joke.
We'll know.
If it's that guy Kevin,
yeah.
Ryan, or whatever his name is, wearing those funny glasses.
Hello, Don and Mike.
You're under arrest.
Well, you know what? As we go to Buzzy, it sounds like I haven't disconnected the line.
Hello.
It sounds like the line... Now, didn't I almost just hear something? Hello? Hello? Let's just leave the line open. Buzz, if they happen to break in during your newscast, please inform them as to what's going on. We'll just leave the line open now.
How do you say hello in Chinese? Is it kind of like...
No, it's hello. Don't you know how to speak Chinese, Mike? It's hello. Here is Buzzy Burbank, Esquire. Hi, Buzzy. Hello. Hi.
Free news for free people. Another German tourist has been killed in the Miami area, fourth one this year. Florida has spent months trying to educate tourists to be careful in their rental cars, not to stop when bumped by another vehicle because the bump-and-rob technique has been used repeatedly. This time, the tourists read the information and followed it, but were victimized anyway.
The suspects, when they saw that he was not going to stop, they pulled up alongside his car, and one of the suspects fired a shot. The bullet went through the driver's side window, and it struck... the German tourist in the back, and he died a few moments later.
That's a police spokesman. Florida Governor Lawton Child says he's so distressed by what's happened, he doesn't know what to say. PLO leader Yasser Arafat says Palestine is ready to recognize Israel and its right to exist, and he's ready to denounce terrorism. That's the latest news from the talks between Israel and the Palestinians. On another matter, Israel isn't saying much this evening about the report that Israel has agreed to give up the Golan Heights to Syria. That report comes from the PLO. Israel's foreign ministry says it has no information on the matter. And literacy in this country ain't what it ought to be. The Secretary of Education says 90 million Americans don't have the literacy skills they need to make it in our economic system. And he says almost half of Americans fall into the two lowest categories of literacy. Education Secretary Richard Riley says a lot of us don't even realize we're undereducated. And he says a lot of Americans have a false sense of security just because they have a job and a high school diploma. What can be done about it? Riley says schools need to raise their standards and to try to make the curriculum more interesting. And
parents must slow down their lives and give attention to their children's education.
President Clinton visited a government warehouse today to make a point about government paperwork and government waste. He was also there to push the new reinventing government plan, which he says is just as important as health care and other pressing issues. Among the items in that warehouse, aspirin and insect repellent, especially manufactured for federal employees. The stock market down today. The Dow lost 18 points. Decliners led gainers by nearly 3-1. Volume was heavy. The S&P lost nearly 2. NASDAQ lost 8.5. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times for the stripogram industry. That story in sports next. This buzzcast brought to you by the Western Union phone card. This is the Don and Mike Show. In sports, rain is still holding up the U.S. Open. Today's schedule called for 4 quarterfinal matches, 2 for the men, 2 for the women. No day games in baseball today, but owners are meeting in Boston to choose a new commissioner. Candidates include George Bush, General Colin Powell, and NBC sports producer Dick Ebersol. The front runner is acting commissioner Bud Selig of Milwaukee. The odds are out for Sunday's games. Among the picks, Washington a 10-point favorite over Phoenix. The Giants a 10-point favorite over Tampa Bay. Dallas gets a 4-point spread over Buffalo. And Miami's expected to beat the Jets by 9.
Hats off to Mike. Here's the best way to describe those love dolls. It's Chucky. Have you ever seen that movie, Chucky?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very scary.
If you can picture Chucky with a big penis. Hold it, Jack. Chucky's back. That's exactly what those dolls look like. Can you tell we're still stuck on those dolls, folks?
I'm Chucky, and look what I have now.
I'm going to have nightmares about those dolls.
Giddy up, Ken.
Oh, God.
And tomorrow night, Ken Stevens will be having those nightmares.
Yeah.
Finally, times are tough. A lot of businesses are struggling to stay afloat, and the stripogram industry knows that better than anyone. The owner of Teletees in Boston says business is down by 50% compared to 2 years ago. But in the stripogram business, the economy isn't the only factor. The owner of Teletees says people are paranoid about sexual harassment charges, which means the stripogram guys and gals are doing a lot more singing and a lot less stripping these days. There is one exception, however. Our guy at Teletees says there's one stripper that still does well. A stripper with a surprise at the end of the act that might remind you of the movie The Crying Game.
Speaking of.
Oh, man, more nightmares.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzzy. We'll see when we get back from Dallas, my friend.
Have a good
Don trip. And Mike on WJFK Washington.
Don and Mike on WJFK Baltimore.
Don and Mike on KD Radio.
Don and Mike on Ten Talk.
Don and Mike on WIOD.
Don and Mike on WLAS.
The Don and Mike Show continues.
Okay, we are back. We got just 30 minutes left before we have to hightail it out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Get a plane down to Dallas. Let's see who's calling right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, have you guys already picked out your bits you're going to play for 67?
Have they picked out the bits? Billy, yes, the bits have been picked.
Oh, man.
The bits have been picked.
Do the Celebrity Pokes one.
Celebrity? Oh, that ran pretty recently. Didn't that run just like a month ago?
No, I've been listening for it. The original one?
Yeah, the original Celebrity Pokes?
Yeah.
All right, Billy, I don't know. Do you think that ran recently enough to run that again?
I think it was a while ago. We certainly got bits that ran quite a bit longer.
I think we've got... What did we pick for today, Billy? We got some Charlie for between 6 and 7 tonight. We got a particularly good argument, I think, between Frida and I about money. And something else. What do we have? Here now is Billy Reed, who with his own limited way will tell us what's coming up next hour during the best of. And folks, no need to worry. Billy will not be doing the actual hosting. Buzz and Sherry are going to be doing all the talking next
Thank
hour.
Thank God.
But Billy?
Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, one of our bits will be It's All Relative.
Okay, It's All Relative. That's a good one.
Okay.
We haven't done that for a long time.
Another bit will include the Frida about littering.
Very good.
You're littering.
Yes. Now, that was a good argument when I was caught littering at my mother-in-law's house. I threw a whole bunch of garbage right out
and
in front of her house.
And a discussion about unconditional love.
Okay. How she loves me unconditionally, that's right.
And now you're going back in the volumes, the volumes of taped information.
And was
that's correct.
Wasn't it Charlie calling for a product or a woman?
It was Charlie calling about tarot cards and big women.
See, now that sounds to me like a grade A 6 to 7 hour.
Very festive, very festive hour.
Okay.
Look, I was on the day the celebrity post. I didn't get a chance to tape it. I liked you.
There's the rub. That's why.
Oh, the guy who had sex with Jenny Jones.
Selfish reasons. The guy who had sex. Oh, you. I remember.
Oh, we don't believe you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. All right, concept too much for him to handle it. Here is the hotline. Hello, hotline.
Hi, Sugar Bear.
Hello, honey.
I have a good trip.
Oh, man. Oh, are you just getting out of Plantanus?
Yeah.
Did you miss the surprise of a lifetime?
What?
You're not going to believe it. You know the Love Dolls?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a scam.
A whole big scam. We were taking hook, line, and sinker.
It was one of our psychotic listeners, but he went to such... You know what else I think? They even had engraved name tags that had the logo of the company on them.
Yeah, engraved.
Wait
yeah.
a minute. It's all happened to be a scam. I mean, did it come by with dolls?
Yeah.
But they were little kids' dolls. They weren't real love dolls.
Oh, my gosh.
No, but, honey, they were like the... You know that Chucky doll from that movie Chucky?
Yeah, but
they were about that size. They had kids' faces, but they had female parts, and the dolls talked. The dolls, like, said, "Oh, Kenny, giddy up, ride me. Earl, you're my stallion."
And when we saw these little love dolls, Frida, we actually still thought it was legit.
Well, but you called them original.
Right. Oh, no. The guy had some elaborate scam with a 1-900 number that was supposed to be in Seattle, Washington. He had some call routing system
right, where
he could have, during our show, any calls that were supposed to go to this business in Seattle would be rerouted to his house.
Well, hats off to him.
Yeah, he's one of our fans. He's the guy. Were you listening that day, honey, when we read the bell graph that somebody had gone to the trouble of making a graph of the different kinds of people that listen to the show?
No.
Well, that was him.
I think you should hire him.
Well, it was a great scam. We're still flipped out about it.
Oh, wow.
It was oogie. It was a great scam, but it was a little bit oogie, too.
Well, I mean, does he have a job or a life?
He works for the defense. I'm not too exasperated over this. He works for the Defense Department.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, mucho scary. Well,
I haven't pulled something on those people in Miami.
Oh, hey, yeah, that's a beautiful for Neil Rogers. Oh God. Oh yeah.
Yeah, we'll contract him and we'll have him take care of that.
Yeah. I mean, my feelings are getting hurt by these people.
Why? Who? What? Oh, in Miami?
They're afraid to pick on you guys, so they're picking on me.
When we came on today at 2, we do an extra hour here in Washington, D.C., a little warm-up before the national show starts. We took a couple of calls, and those idiots in Miami have got nothing better to do than make fun of my wife.
First, they called me a dyke.
And now they're saying that she's the voice of olive oil.
Oh, Popeye.
Yeah, that takes a lot of guts to make fun of a guy's wife.
I think that's a good idea, getting our good new friend Kevin Kirby on the case.
Well, it sounds like Neil Rogers might have, that guy in Miami might have some use for those dolls, as a matter of fact.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, listen, you be especially good when I'm out of town, okay?
I will. Is Billy spending the night with me?
Yes, Billy is.
Oh, good.
And, of course, I only mean that in the platonic way.
Yeah,
I like having a man in the house.
He's my bodyguard. He's Kevin Costner, and I'm Whitney Houston.
Yeah. And if I come home, if I was to ever, never mind. It would. I mean, I was going to say, if I was to ever come home and find you in an embrace with Billy.
Oh, man. The question would be, who would get the gun turned on them first?
Me. I wouldn't bother killing you guys. I'd just blow my own head off. Yeah, Billy's going to come stay with you.
He's got to promise not to keep me up all night chatting. That's Billy.
Yeah, don't worry about that. All right, honey.
Boo-boo, I wanted to tell you, too, I talked to an orthopedic doctor today because my finger got hurt. Uh-huh. But while I was there, I asked him about Bart playing football, and he told me that...
Oh, stop it.
No. If you let me finish, he told me the most injuries he sees on kids are from soccer, so not to worry. And then the second was softball or something.
My son really wants to play football. He wants to play peewee football badly. And I know that you probably think that I'm the kind of dad that's like, because I love football so much.
And you're only named him after a player.
Yeah, come on, play football, be a man. But I'm not going to push him that way. If he wants to play peewee football, he can.
Right.
If he wants to play soccer, it's okay. But the problem is you got mommy all the time saying, oh, you're going to get hurt if you play football.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
I just try and look at it unemotionally. That's why I asked an orthopedic doctor. I got a good answer, and so, I'm not going to sweat it.
You get more injuries in soccer because of the equipment factor.
Well, I don't know, but you know, when they're playing football and they're in third grade, they're kind of too little to really damage each other.
Yeah,
you know.
That's going to be great. So you're going to let him play? Mommy's going to let him play then?
I was always going to let him, but then I will support it now.
Good. And I'm thinking about renaming Bart. I love the name, but I'd like to name it Todd, after Todd Marinovich. Because I'm hoping that Bart will be the next Robo-QB.
Got to be that special diet and everything.
Yeah. Hey, I love you.
I love you too. Can Bart say goodbye to you?
Of course. I love you. Hello, big guy. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
Hi, yes.
Hi.
Daddy.
Yeah.
I got a Green Bay Packers book.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, he's my boy, isn't he? Oh, did you get that at the library today at school?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? How was that first big day of school?
Good.
You know what question I'm going to be asking you every day now?
What?
What did you learn today?
No,
come on, remember, you got to give me a real answer. Tell me something you did in school today besides recess or gym or football.
I didn't do gym.
Okay, well, tell me something you did in school today.
We learned.
See, now this is, if you got a parent, this is a real P-I-I-S-E-R. I had to turn the microphone off so we wouldn't hear that.
Right.
That's the toughest part of being a parent.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear you too well for a minute.
Because Daddy said a word I didn't want you to hear. You send a kid away to school.
Right.
Regardless of if it's kindergarten, if it's first grade or college, they come home, you want to hear, what'd you do in school? And you sit there with the kid for an hour and the kid goes, I don't know. So I find it's good to ask. What you did in school today? Just something. Come on now, serious.
I worked for a half hour and I finished the Green Bay Packers book.
Okay, what was the Green Bay Packers book about?
It's just stories.
Stories about who?
The Green Bay Packers.
Really? Name somebody on the Green Bay Packers. Who's a coach?
Lombardi.
Vince Lombardi. But did you learn anything else in school besides football today? Did you have any real classes?
Art.
Art. Did you have a science class today?
Uh-uh.
Did you have a history class today?
Uh-uh.
Math?
Yeah.
Math. What'd you do in math class?
Just learned about, like, if there is a 543, the 3 would go in the 1s, the 4 would go in the 10s. The 5 would go in the
100. See, and parents out there, there's your payoff right there.
Bingo.
Doesn't really matter if you understand what he's talking about.
Bingo, that's right.
All you know is that, and I didn't understand you.
I certainly didn't know.
All I know is that 543, the 3 goes in 10, the 4 goes, yeah, he's learning some math.
Sounds good to me.
That's all I want to know. I'm proud of you, buddy, and I love you. You take care of Mommy for the next couple days for me, okay?
Okay.
Okay, give me a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Mwah. I love you.
I love you, too.
I'll see you on Saturday. Okay, let me talk to Mama again.
Okay.
And if I mentioned Saturday, the great time I'm coming back to, it's my mother-in-law's 70th birthday party.
That's a big one. Hey, big Frida, if I don't get a chance to say it to you, God bless you. Have a happy 70th.
At our house.
That's great. 70th birthday is a big deal.
At our house.
You'll have a good time.
At our house, Mike, with the whole family.
Good. Get you.
With the whole family. As soon as we get back from Dallas.
I'm going to buy your
Mike for WJFK.
Love dogs. So, here we go. Born with Don and Mike. I say, so, Jerry.
Yes, son.
Don and Mike and Diana are off to catch a plane. They've got their love dolls packed, ready to present to Ken Stevens
tomorrow.
That's
right.
And so over the next hour, we're going to play some of the best of Don and Mike. And in this first segment up, you're going to love it. Don and Mike get out their wacky Rolodex and make some calls. Let's go to the tape.
And this festive carny music can mean only one thing.
Oh, boy.
We're ready to spin our weirdo Rolodex on WJFK.
Oh, will it land on?
Here's the numbers we have in today's game. Longtime Elvis Presley kook, Major Bill Smith.
It has been a while since we have chatted with the mage.
One of our favorite fortune tellers from Tennessee, Mr. Zodiac.
With his long, Howard Hughes-like fingernails.
The woman who believes Bob Hope is violently insane.
She's always a sweet conversation.
Sally Fox. The man in Missouri who believes he is Jesus.
Oh boy, gosh, we called him once.
Bill Godwin. Ernie, the guy that we called a couple of weeks ago about rods and Venus.
There you go.
And then I got a couple of new ones. Dan Smith from the Uranus Society.
Yeah.
He's the guy who says Napoleon, all these other famous people in history are still alive and living on Uranus.
You can never find out too much about Uranus.
And then you have Joe Hobby, an actual joke writer for Jay Leno.
Cool.
And as the bonus wild card, the 1-900 telephone transvestite number.
That's always fun.
So you never know where it's going to land. Let's spin the wheel.
Round and round and round she goes.
There goes Major Bill Smith, Mr. Zodiac, Major Up. And it has stopped Mike on Bill Godwin.
Oh, yes.
The guy that believes he's Jesus.
Bill's always a pleasant guy to talk to. You never really know exactly what he's going to say.
Now, this will be a really quick call because we want to keep the fast-paced carnival atmosphere here.
There you go. Hey, get your cotton candy while you're at it.
Come see the Dynamite Freak Show. See the guy that thinks Elvis is still alive.
The incredible bearded lady.
See the woman that thinks Bob Hope is violently insane. Meet the man who thinks he's Jesus.
I got to redial Jesus' number.
Okay. All right.
Right after Bill Godwin, we're going to show you the amazing two-headed boy.
And you know, you could be in our show today with your freshly painted toenails on your beautiful feet.
Step right up, see the man with the beautiful feet and the red toenails that are going to be eradicated when he gets home tonight.
Good luck taking that stuff off.
I think I'll be spending 2 hours doing that tonight.
You should see Mike's toes. Big red toenails. Hello?
Calling Jesus now.
Bill Godwin.
Yeah, I wish he'd just eradicate the Bill Godwin because he says he's Jesus.
Hey, you'd think that he'd pick the phone up on the first or second ring.
You'd think if he was Jesus, he'd know that we were calling.
I don't think Jesus would have an answering machine, would he?
No way. Much too earthly. Much too earthly for Jesus.
All right, one more ring. You heard it. Jesus not at home.
Bill Godwin out performing some miracles, I guess.
Back to the wheel.
Oh, there it is.
It has stopped on Dan Smith.
Yep.
A guy we've never even called before, the guy from the Uranus Society.
And this is a planet that we have always... Of all the planets in the solar system, Uranus is the one that we're always fascinated with.
We can't wait for NASA to land on Uranus.
That'd be incredible. Can you imagine the first mission to Uranus? Unbelievable.
All right, now the jokes are fast and furious.
Yes, they are.
We're going to try to control...
Are they tiresome to you?
A little bit. I think yes. They're kind of overdone.
Well, you know...
I know, to each his own.
That's why we call that guy. I agree with you. I agree with you, but it's kind of automatic pilot.
I know.
They just sort of come out.
Hello? I know where they come out of. Okay.
Of course. I wasn't going to say that.
Well, it's a moot point anyway, but it sounds like this guy's not at home either.
Come on, you. Wipe that smile off your face.
All right. Start the music again.
Isn't that great? We didn't even get through to the guy. We got a few out.
Hey, there it goes. And then the wheel again.
Look at that.
Oh, and horror of horrors.
Oh, no.
It has stopped on Major Bill Smith.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This gentleman has never been abducted by UFOs. He doesn't study Uranus. He simply believes that Elvis Presley is still alive.
Now, I guarantee, unless he's dead, he's going to be there picking up the phone.
He's been in ill health. We know that, right?
Which is why I prefaced that with the disclaimer that unless he's passed on,
be a shame.
Hello?
Hi, I'm sorry that I'm out now, but I will be happy to return your call if you would just please leave your name and phone number. God bless you.
God bless you. Major Bill.
God bless you, Mage.
Hi, it's Don and Mike. Howdy, partner. How you doing?
It's been a long time, baby.
Give us a call if you get a chance, partner. Area code 202-432-1067.
You the man.
Gotta go spin the wheel. Tell Elvis I said hi. God bless you.
All right. The scary thing about that is that he will call us.
And round and round it goes. Oh,
where was it?
I thought it was going to stop on the Jay Leno guy, but it has stopped on the 1-900 telephone transvestite line.
Yeah, we certainly know there's going to be something at the end of this.
Please no Uranus jokes.
Absolutely not.
All right, now, as I recall, this was a number with a...
Thank you for calling the TV meeting place.
A bunch of different transvestites.
Enterprises Incorporated. The cost of this call is $3.59 per minute.
All right.
You must be 21 years of age to use this service. There's no choice. Call up now.
No.
on your telephone bill.
That's good.
Please enter the year you were born using four digits.
1492.
There you go, Columbus.
And messages deemed inappropriate will be deleted.
Christopher Columbus was a woman.
Sound Enterprises Incorporated.
Oh, come on.
No responsibility.
Come on, cut to the chase.
I hate disclaimers.
I hate disclaimers. Just trying to get more of our money.
Welcome to Michael Salem Enterprises Incorporated's TV meeting place.
There he is.
Welcome.
Featuring over 500 messages from transvestites, transsexuals, famous female impersonators, psychologists, makeup artists, and much, much more.
The music really fits.
Often as new people are added daily. Announcing that the browse feature has been redone for your listening pleasure.
All right.
The main menu, press 2 to check it out. You will now hear messages in random order. If you should hear the same message, you may skip ahead to the next message by pressing the 2 key.
2.
After each message, you will have the opportunity to respond or to continue. If you wish to skip a message, press 2. Now, here are the messages.
All right.
1-0-1-1-1.
Hello, my name is Tony. My area code is 203. I'm interested in the TV or TV.
Okay. 1-0.
Take another one. When do we get one we like?
616. I'm looking for a female cross-dresser to go out in public with me and
okay.
A relationship.
We're looking for a little more flamboyant.
1-0-6-4-1. 201. Yes, my name's Mike. I'm interested in meeting 16 transsexual.
1-0-8-5-8.
608, I'm Gregory, 32 years old.
608, that's Wisconsin.
5 foot 9, 197 pounds, seeking a very feminine white TV or TS, own hair, preferably blonde. Call 608.
Own hair.
15596.
What was the number? I missed the number.
I'm sorry.
Can we hear it again? What happens if you hear it again?
To leave a message, press 1.
Oh, you got it. Bring it on in,
Diana. Next message, press 2. 1-0-5-0-7-415. San Francisco area.
Oh,
1-0-5.
San Francisco, too obvious.
602. Hello, my name is Lisa. I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm 6'1" tall, about 180 pounds. I'm rather tall with long legs, fairly thin. I'm a white male cross-dresser. I enjoy other cross-dressers, TVs, TSs, pre-ops, and TV admirers, and I'm looking for a friend.
Now, when he says TV, he's talking about transvestites, not TV like you like TV.
If he's a TV admirer, he can come to your house.
And explore fun times with admirers and...
All right.
1-0-7-1-8.
Hi, this is Frank at 679.
Frank.
84-1820. Old TV is cool. Thank you.
What was that? Was that 2-8?
To leave the message, press 1.
No.
To continue to the next message, press 2. To repeat this greeting, press 3. 1-0-7-1-8.
Hi, this is Frank at 609-784-1820. Old TV is cool. Thank you.
I'm a TV.
All right.
That's our guy.
I liked it. I liked it so much I bought the company. All right, just TV's calling me. Bill Macy.
The guy from Maud.
Hey, TV's calling me.
Maud.
I'm bored with Maud. I want a TV or a TS. Trouble me with your own hair.
We're sorry.
Oh.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh.
Please check the number and dial again.
All right, let me try the guy that liked TV in Wisconsin.
Maud. Maud. Where did you put your evening gowns? I want to dress up again, Maud. I want to put on your wigs, Maud.
What are that guy's doing these days?
Probably,
Don't answer.
There is no love boat anymore.
All right, now we're trying Gregory, the telephone transvestite from Wisconsin.
Maybe you could hook him up with your brother. Just to go out hunting.
Well, he's got the same area code. That's what got me hooked. And... You know, if we don't get through, we're going to have to spin the wheel again.
Oh, no.
We haven't officially gotten through to anybody yet. And
yeah, there's that music. It means we're going to do some more spinning.
Yep. All right. Round she goes.
More.
I wasn't paying attention. I got to re-spin it. All right.
There it goes.
It's going to take me a while to spin the wheel again.
Now, keep your hands out of the way.
There we go.
Spin the giant wheel.
Mr. Zodiac.
Now, this guy is scary. Mr. Zodiac, I'm not quite sure what he does. We just know he's an old man that says he can see you through the phone, so who knows?
Yeah, he's been a long-time regular on our show.
Very interesting man.
Mm-hmm. Now, if there's anybody who should be at home, if it's not Major Bill Smith, it'll be this guy.
That's right.
Although this guy's probably got about as good a chance of waking up from...
Sorry, the number you have dialed, 9-4-5-1-1-7-7. Is not in service at this time.
Oh, my goodness.
You mean he changed it?
He changed it.
Mr. Zodiac! There goes the wheel again. Wow. And this time, hey, it's landed on a real wild card, Mike.
Oh, good.
Monty Hall's Let's Make a Deal line.
Love playing this game.
All right.
We're always real good at it.
All right.
This should be exciting.
Here we go. The Monty Hall 1-900 Let's Make a Deal line.
Thank you for calling the TV meeting place.
Oh, no.
Brought to you by...
Hey, wait a minute. You called the transvestite. Monty Hall's not a transvestite.
Oh, is it
$3.50? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm on the wrong...
Monty.
The wrong number. Here we go. 1-9...
Hello, it's Bill Macy behind door number 2. In the press, Maud.
7-7-3-7-0-3-3.
But what's nice is I have my own hair.
Hey, who would have thought?
Hi, I'm Monty Hall.
There you go.
Welcome to the all-new Let's Make a Deal telephone game.
Hi, Monty.
A chance to win $2,000 to go right into the game. Press 1 now.
There we go. Got it.
Here we go.
Now you have a chance to win great cash prizes at every level.
M-I-W-K-F-K. Don and Mike Show.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a buttload for listening all along the Ham and Eggs Radio Network. Hey, I really do love my wife. I just want to say that, even so that I hate her. I hate her, but I love her.
You just hate it when she beats you in athletic competition.
I hate her, but I love her. She's my best friend. You listening? Cook my dinner. I love you. I just wanted to say that.
You know, also, I was just going to say when we're on the road the next time, if you want, we can... We can hit the ball if you want to.
I don't think it's a good idea for you and
now,
I to play sports together.
Why do you think that? Why?
You know why?
You
because you played
that?
Tennis in high school.
Yes,
and,
I did.
And you would kill me in tennis, and No.
I would not kill you. I would not play competitively with you.
I don't want to. Well, what do I want you out there? Playing with your right hand then?
No, I played to rally, just to run, to get the exercise and to
I
do
like
it.
Playing the game, though.
Huh?
I like playing the game. Here's the thing. I like playing the game against someone I can beat. Like, I like playing against my 8-year-old son.
Jeez, what's wrong with you? We'd have a good time. We would have a good time.
No, I'm sorry. I like you too much to play tennis with you, Mike.
You mean you'd get furious? You'd get mad at me?
Yes. You should see how mad I got at my wife. I think it's one of the things that makes me unique, that I am such a competitive person.
Yeah,
I hate it. I hate to lose. I hate to lose, suckers.
Look at it this way. Let me throw this at you. Let me look at it this way. We're on the road because, you know, we were talking about how difficult it is to, to maintain fitness when you're on the road and you're traveling a lot. And I love to play, sports where you run around. And look at it this way.
I don't do it for fitness, though.
I could give you some pointers to beat your wife.
No offense. No offense, please. I like you. Too much.
Okay.
To play tennis with you.
Right? I asked. It was just a thought for this nice little trip down to Dallas.
But I love my wife. No matter what I say, I love her. God bless you. Cook my dinner. 5.5 hours till Chevy Chase, everybody. Just 5.5 hours till the premiere of the Chevy Chase Show.
Who knows what that's going to bring?
And we're going to be giving away a trip to San Antonio for someone to see the big boxing match in just a couple of seconds. Before we go to Buzzy Burbank with news, you are standing by with the news, Buzzy?
Yes, I am.
Now, there's a guy playing tennis right there.
Really? Would you?
Yeah.
All right. You know, you work out with Diana on the road, and you stop in and you call me in the morning and tell me to get on the Stairmaster, and all I want to do is bang a little ball with you.
I'll go to the exercise room with you. If you want to bond there, if you want to go to the exercise room and we'll work out together, I'd love that.
Well, I was thinking perhaps that our exercise schedules are at slightly different hours in the morning. You know, when you get up, when the crows are out, the cock crows at 5 o'clock. You'd have a good time. I would make the experience such that you would not, there's no way you could get angry.
I know I'd get mad because even if we were just hitting them back and forth, I would want to play a game. Then if we play a game...
Right.